This is an Audio Holdings production. We are pleased to present Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain, read by Robbie Benson.
Tom?
No answer.
Tom?
No answer.
What's gone with that boy, I wonder? You, Tom!
The old lady pulled her spectacles down and looked over them about the room. She looked perplexed a moment, went to the open door and stood in it, and looked out among the tomato vines and gypsum weeds that constituted the garden. No Tom. She lifted up her voice at an angle calculated for distance and shouted,
"Yo, Tom!"
Well, there was a slight noise behind her, and she turned just in time to seize a small boy by the slack of his roundabout and arrest his flight.
"There, I might have thought of that closet. What you been going on in there?"
"Nothing."
"Nothing? Look at your hands and look at your mouth. What is that truck?"
"Well, I don't know, Aunt."
"Well, I know. It's jam. That's what it is. 40 times I've said if you didn't let that jam alone, I'd skin you. Hand me that switch."
The switch hovered in the air. The peril was desperate. "My, look behind you, Aunt." And the old lady whirled around and snatched her skirts out of danger, and the lad fled on the instant, scrambled up the high-board fence, and disappeared over it. His Aunt Polly stood surprised a moment, and then broke into a gentle laugh.
"Hang that boy. Can't I never learn anything? Ain't he played me tricks enough like that for me to be looking out for him by this time? He's full of the old scratch, but laws of me, he's my own dead sister's boy, poor thing, and I ain't got the heart to lash him somehow. He'll play hooky this evening, and I'll just be obliged to make him work tomorrow to punish him."
Well, Tom did play hooky, and he had a very good time. He got back home barely in season to help Jim, the small colored boy, saw next day's wood and split the kindlings before supper. At least he was there in time to tell his adventures to Jim while Jim did 3/4 of the work. Tom's younger brother, or rather half-brother, Sid, was already through his part of the work, picking up chips, for he was a quiet boy and he had no adventurous, troublesome ways. Saturday morning was come, and all the summer world was bright and fresh and brimming with life. There was a song in every heart, and if the heart was young, the music issued at the lips. There was cheer in every face and a spring in every step. The locust trees were in bloom and the fragrance of the blossoms filled the air. Cardiff Hill, beyond the village and above it, was green with vegetation, and it lay just far enough away to seem a delectable land, dreamy, reposeful, and inviting. Tom appeared on the sidewalk with a bucket of whitewash and a long-handled brush. He surveyed the fence, and the gladness went out of nature, and a deep melancholy settled down upon his spirit. 30 yards of board fence, 9 feet high. It seemed to him that life was hollow and existence but a burden. Sighing, he dipped his brush and passed it along the topmost plank, repeated the operation, did it again, compared the insignificant whitewash streak with the far-reaching continent of unwhitewashed fence, and sat down on a tree box discouraged. Tom began to think of the fun he had planned for this day, and his sorrows multiplied. Soon the free boys would come tripping along on all sorts of delicious expeditions, and they would make a world of fun of him for having to work. The very thought of it burnt him like fire. He got out his worldly wealth and examined it. Bits of toys, marbles, and trash. Enough to buy an exchange of work, maybe, but not enough to buy so much as half an hour of pure freedom. So he returned his straightened means to his pocket and gave up the idea of trying to buy the boys. At this dark and hopeless moment, an inspiration burst upon him. Nothing less than a great, magnificent inspiration. He took up his brush and went tranquilly to work. Ben Rogers hove in sight presently. The very boy, of all boys, whose ridicule he had been dreading. Ben's gait was the hop, skip, and jump, proof enough that his heart was light and his anticipations high. Ben said,
"Hello, chap. You got to work, eh?"
"Why, it's you, Ben. I weren't noticing."
"Well, say, I'm going in a swimming, I am. Don't you wish you could? But of course, you'd rather work, wouldn't you?" "Of course you would."
Tom contemplated the boy a bit and said, Well, what do you call work?
Why, ain't that work?
Tom resumed his whitewashing and answered carelessly, Well, maybe it is, maybe it ain't. All I know is, sure suits Tom Sawyer.
Oh, come on, you don't mean to let on that you like it.
The brush continued to move.
Like it? Well, I don't see why I oughtn't to like it. Does a boy get a chance to whitewash a fence every day?
Well, that put the thing in a new light. Tom swept his brush daintily back and forth, stepped back to note the effect, added a touch here and there, criticized the effect again. Ben, watching every move and getting more and more interested and more absorbed, presently he said, Hey, say, Tom, let me whitewash a little. Tom considered, was about to consent, but he altered his mind.
No, I reckon it wouldn't hardly do, Ben. You see, Aunt Polly's awful particular about this fence, you know, right here on the street, you know, but if it was the back fence, I wouldn't mind, and she wouldn't. Yes, she's awfully particular about this fence. It's got to be done very careful, I reckon, and there ain't one boy in 1,000, maybe 2,000, that can do it the way it's got to be done.
No. Is that so?
Oh, come on now. Let me just try, only just a little. I'd let you, if you was me, Tom. Now, Ben, I'd like to. Honest Injun, but Aunt Polly, well, Jim wanted to do it, but she wouldn't let him. Sid wanted to do it, and she wouldn't let Sid. Now, don't you see how I'm fixed? If you was to tackle this fence, and anything was to happen to it, oh, shucks, I'll be just as careful. Now, let me try.
No, Ben, No,
don't. I'm afeard.
Tom gave up the brush with reluctance in his face, but alacrity in his heart. And while Ben worked and sweated in the sun, the retired artist sat on a barrel in the shade close by, dangled his legs, and planned the slaughter of more innocents. There was no lack of material. Boys happened along every little while. They came to jeer, but remained to whitewash. And when the middle of the afternoon came, from being a poor, poverty-stricken boy in the morning, Tom was literally rolling in wealth. He had 12 marbles, part of a juice harp, a piece of blue bottle glass to look through, a spool cannon, a key that wouldn't unlock anything, a fragment of chalk, a glass stopper of a decanter, a tin soldier, a couple of tadpoles, 6 firecrackers, a kitten with only one eye, a brass doorknob, a dog collar, but no dog, the handle of a knife, 4 pieces of orange peel, and a dilapidated old window sash. Oh, he had had a nice, good, idle time all the while, plenty of company, and the fence had 3 coats of whitewash on it. If he hadn't run out of whitewash, he would have bankrupted every boy in the village. Tom presented himself before Aunt Polly, who was sitting by an open window in a pleasant rear apartment, which was a bedroom, breakfast room, dining room, and a library combined. The balmy summer air, the restful quiet, the odor of the flowers, the drowsing murmur of the bees had had their effect. She was nodding over her knitting, for she had no company but the cat, and it was asleep in her lap. Her spectacles were propped up on her gray head for safety. She had thought that, of course, Tom had deserted long ago, and she wondered to see him place himself in her power again in this intrepid way. He said,
May I go and play now, Aunt? What, already? How much have you done?
Oh, it's all done, Aunt.
Tom, don't lie to me. I can't bear it. I ain't, Aunt. It is all done.
Aunt Polly placed small trust in such evidence. She went out to see for herself, and she would have been content to find 20% of Tom's statement true. When she found the entire fence whitewashed, and not only whitewashed, but elaborately coated and recoated, and even a streak added to the ground, her astonishment was almost unspeakable. She said,
Well, I never. There's no getting around it. You can work when you're a mind to it, Tom.